This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we have your closing grain futures from Friday on the Board of Trade that all finished lower across the board. December corn was 2 pennies lower to 370 3/4. March corn was down 3 1/4 to 381 3/4. May corn was down 2 1/4 as well to 389 1/2. Soybeans for November were down 10 1/4 to 882 3/4. January soybeans were down 9 1/2 to 896 1/2. March beans were down 9 1/2 to 908 3/4. Chicago wheat for December finished 3 3/4 cents lower Friday to 484 1/4. March wheat was down 3 1/4 to 491. May wheat was down 3 to 495 3/4. Moving on to soybean meal, the October contract was down $1.10 to $2.91.10. December bean meal was also down $1.10 to $2.95. January bean meal was down $1 to $2.96.70. Finally, soybean oil for October was down 53 to $29.28. December bean oil was down 57 to $29.40. January bean oil was down 56 to $29.64. To recap your grain futures from Friday, corn was down 2 to 3, soybeans down 9 to 10, wheat down 3 to 4, soybean meal down $1 to $1.10, soybean oil down 53 to 57 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's cash grain report.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices are lower on Friday afternoon as grain prices are suffering from an absence of any fresh, bullish, fundamental news. And in northern West Illinois country, Illinois quoted shallow corn bids 1 to 2 lower at 321 to 366. Soybean bids were down 5 to 7 cents at 807 to 833. In central Illinois country, Illinois quoted shallow corn bids steady to 2 lower at 349 to 371. Soybean bids were down 10 to 11 cents at 817 to 862. In the southern part of the state, shale corn bids were 1 to 2 cents lower at 315 to 386. Soybean bids are down 9 to 10 cents at 804 to 843. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 to 13 cents lower at 838 to 870. Basis is unchanged to down 3 at 4,500 to 1,300 in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 276.10 to 294.10 a ton, down $1.10 a ton, with basis unchanged at 1,500 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were down 2 cents at 371 to 386, with basis unchanged at option to 15 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at 348 to 371, with basis steady to up 1 at 2,300 to option to December. Soybeans ended down 9 to 12 cents at 830 to 838, with basis mixed at 53 under to 45 under the November. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids steady to 2 lower at 360 to 361. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 8 to 10 cents, quotations at 849 to 851. Soft wheat closed down 4 cents at 485 to 486, and Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 355 to 356. And contract bids producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 327 to 361. Soybeans at 807 to 842. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 345 to 369. Soybeans at 819 to 867. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 315 to 381. Soybeans at 804 to 843, and June, July wheat at 464 to 495. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from Friday, the finished mixed but mostly lower. Live cattle for October were down 45 cents to 99.35. December live cattle were down 67 to 105.15. February live cattle were down 45 to 112.07. Moving on, feeder cattle for September were up 37 to 140.32. October feeder cattle finished 27 higher to 139.20. November feeder cattle were 22 lower to 137.02. Finally, lean hogs for October were down $1.05 to $60.35. December lean hogs were down $1.70 to $66.25. February lean hogs were down $1.15 to $73.90. Now to recap your closing livestock futures from Friday, live cattle were down 45 to 67, feeder cattle were down 22 to up 37, lean hogs were down $1.05 to $1.70. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 22 cents lower in a range of $39 to $45, with a weighted average carcass price of $44.14. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with light to moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $15 to $19, 4 to 5 weight at $16 to $21, 5 to 6 weight at $18 to $24, over 600 pounds at $20 to $26. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for bears and gilts at the country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $25 to $31. Receipts for Illinois bears and gilts have totaled $26,714. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 102 to 105, on a dress basis at 160 to 165. Heifers on a live basis traded at 104 to 105, on a dress basis at 160 to 165. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 266 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $69.15, which was 13 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $216.97, which was $1.20 lower. Select carcasses at $191.72, which was 44 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, compared to 109,000 for last week and 119,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 446,000, compared to 476,000 for last week and 439,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Monday. Brought to you by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show on this Monday morning brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News, to start off this new week on a Monday morning, House Ag Republicans and Democrats are not sure the USDA is doing the best job it can implementing Farm Bill and disaster aid programs put in place by Congress. Farm Service Agency staff is a key concern of lawmakers. House Ag Chair Colin Peterson brought up the decades-old issue with Undersecretary Bill Northey at a hearing on progress implementing the Farm Bill and disaster aid. Explains the profit opportunities of choosing high oleic soybean varieties for next season.
We had 11,500 people working at FSA offices in 2004. Today we have 8,500. I would argue we got more work today than we had in 2004.
Peterson challenged Northey to say if the administration asked for extra staffing dollars. Northey wouldn't say.
We have our process of being able to sort through the priorities at USDA and through the president's budget, as well as you all have your priorities and what you need to work through.
Republicans also had their concerns. Georgia's Austin Scott complained about the USDA's delivery of disaster aid.
I am concerned with the USDA's economist estimates. I'm concerned, and I would suggest this committee, this cannot take a year the next time somebody goes through a storm the way the state of Georgia did. My people would not be farming today but for a loan program through the Georgia Development Authority.
Scott complained that it took land-grant schools in Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina to convince the USDA that its estimate of uninsured storm damage in the three states was off by $2 billion. In other ag news from Washington, on a bipartisan vote of 301 to 123, the House passed a continuing resolution that funds the government through November 21st. The resolution includes a provision that will allow the Ag Department's Commodity Credit Corporation to continue to make aid payments to farmers. That includes market facilitation payments to help make up for export sales lost in recent trade wars. The Hagstrom Report says House leadership and USDA officials negotiated a provision that requires the Ag Department to report to Congress on the trade aid program. The bill goes to the Senate and is expected to be passed quickly. It then moves to President Trump's desk for his signature. House Appropriations Chair Nita Lowley had initially left the CCC provisions out of the bill but put it back in after getting pressure from both Republicans and Democrats. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson is happy the assistance is continuing. "The call for more transparency in this program is a good one," he says. "I appreciate USDA's willingness to ensure that help gets out the door on time to farmers who need it. At the same time, it allows taxpayers to see where the funds are going." In the latest news from the Chinese trade war, Chinese trade negotiators did an about-face on Friday, canceling a visit to meet U.S. farmers after they wrapped up trade talks in Washington last week. A CNBC article says the Chinese delegation is headed back to China earlier than planned. Nicole Rolfe, director of national affairs with the Montana Farm Bureau, says there wasn't any explanation as to why they cut their trip short. Nebraska Ag Department officials also confirmed that the Chinese delegation called off a visit to farms in that state as well. U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue had confirmed last Thursday that the meetings were in the works as a way for China to build goodwill with American farmers. The Chinese delegation was going to visit Bozeman, Montana, and Omaha, Nebraska. The unexpected cancellation puts a damper on hopes that China would restart purchases of U.S. agricultural products, which it halted in April as retaliation against U.S. tariffs. China made up $5.9 billion in U.S. farm product exports in 2018. It's the world's top buyer of soybeans and purchased about 60% of U.S. soybean exports that year. Tensions between the two countries had eased as both countries held off on imposing additional tariffs on each other's goods. In other national news, farmers are facing difficult weather, trade shifts, and lower prices for soybeans this year, but farmers can secure a margin booster for the 2020 crop in 13 states, including Illinois, thanks in part to the soybean checkoff. High oleic soybean varieties continue to offer competitive premiums to farmers with minimal management adjustments. Kevin Wilson, United Soybean Board farmer leader from Walton, Indiana, explains the profit opportunities of choosing high oleic soybean varieties for next season.
We've been planting them for about 6 or 7 years. Basically, it's the same bean with the same performance, but this bean has an oil that has a more desirable characteristic that really helps the end users, the customers, such as restaurant chains, grocery store, and food companies as well. It's added more premium on the final end, and so it's been a good thing for us.
Management of high oleic soybean varieties is similar to commodity soybeans. Farmers store the beans separately for delivery, just like they would a conventional crop.
Well, for us, we were storing beans anyhow. So we store them, and then they have a call option where they take them during the winter at different times. We just stored them like we were storing the regular beans. We had a delivery location, ADM Frankfurt, which is not too far from us. So it just all fit really, really good.
Depending on processor locations and participating elevators in their area, farmers can take advantage of the premiums offered by high oleic soybeans next year.
Well, there are two or three different options. With us, we have the storage, so we store them and then we bring them in. And so we're offered a premium. Our premium runs about 50 cents a bushel. There are other fall delivery locations around. I think next year there's going to be some more probably in Ohio as well, and there may be some in other states. But once you locate someone that will take them during harvest, and then you'll still get a premium, it'll vary depending on how far you have to deliver them.
You can stay up to date with the latest information from the United Soybean Board on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. on RFD-TV or visit unitedsoybean.org. Taking a look now at state and local ag news, as pressure builds to get the USMCA trade deal done, Democrats are still holding out for changes related to prescription drugs, labor, and the environment. That according to Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos. She is praising Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer, but says there are some aspects of the deal that Democrats want before the bill can be completed and brought to the floor.
Well, the Speaker of the House was just in Illinois a couple weeks ago, and she was out at the State Fair right in the it was the day after Ag Day at the State Fair, and I asked her for a favor, and I asked if she would be willing to sit down with some of our farmers to talk about the USMCA, the trade deal with Canada and Mexico. And she gave them, and it was a small group, only eight farmers and the Speaker of the House and I in the room. And I'll tell you exactly what she told them, and I can tell you exactly what she said on a conference call that I was on earlier this week. And it's this: that there are disagreements right now on the USMCA that the trade ambassador Lighthizer, who's in the Trump administration, is negotiating in good faith. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you're Nancy Pelosi or if you're Mitch McConnell. We all look at him as a good actor, that he's been fair and is willing to sit down and talk with us. So what she told the farmers is that the disagreements right now are over the cost of pharmaceuticals and how quickly those can get to market in a generic form so we can bring down the cost. So that's number one. Number two is the enforcement of the trade deal. It doesn't do any good to have a trade deal and have some good components of a trade deal if you can't enforce, for instance, the labor agreement is part of that. And then number three are some environmental issues.
The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, has said recently that a deal on USMCA is close, but that her party remains adamant about what they believe needs to be part of the agreement. Moving on into more state news, but on a more local level, officials of Lincoln Land Community College broke ground on Thursday on a new building for the study of agriculture. LLCC Board Chairman Wayne Rosenthal announced that the new structure on the east edge of campus will be named the Crerar Agriculture Center in honor of the late Charles and Irene Crerar. The 19,750-square-foot, $7.5 million building is being funded by annual distributions from the Crerar Farm Perpetual Charitable Trust to the LLCC Foundation, and is expected to open in the spring semester of 2021. Thus far, the Crerar gift has allowed LLCC's agriculture program to offer more scholarships, research, and travel opportunities to students, along with the latest active learning tools, including high-tech simulators, drones, and augmented reality devices. LLCC President Charlotte Warren announced that the Ag Department was recently named as the best college agriculture department in the Midwest by the National Association of Agricultural Educators. LLCC's soil specialist team won first place overall at the National Professional Agriculture Student, or PAS, organization's conference last spring, and the College Bowl team placed first for the third consecutive year at the Illinois PAS Conference. Also participating in the groundbreaking Thursday were LLCC Board of Trustee members Ken Elmore, Vice Chairman, Gordon Gates, the Secretary, Dr. Vicki Davis, Craig Finley, Jeff Fulgenzi, and Student Trustee Elia Kissick. LLCC offers a transfer degree in agriculture, along with an occupational degree and certificates in agriculture business management, precision agronomy, fertilizer, and horticulture. More information is available online at llcc.edu/agriculture. Moving on now into local news, we'll start off with livestock news from the Greenville Livestock Auction from their latest sale on Wednesday the 18th. There were 602 total receipts, 46 in sheep and goats, 556 in cattle. And the results from the cattle are as follows. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $2 higher on High Choice and $1 higher on the Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded $1 higher on High Choice and unevenly steady on Low Choice and Selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 lower on the medium-large 1 to 2s and steady to $5 lower on the unvaccinated, unweaned to short-weaned calves and the medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $2 to $5 lower on better cows and $1 to $3 lower on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded $3 to $4 lower. And remember, as always, you can find the full report from the Greenville Livestock Auction, along with many other reports and stories, on our website, WSMIRadio.com/ag. And local events going on throughout the area this week. Tonight will be the first night of a quilting class to be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. The quilting class will be held this evening from 6:30 until 8 and will be held for the next 6 weeks on Monday evenings through October 28th. Also being held this week at the U of I Extension will be a Landscaping for Energy Efficient Homes workshop that will be held on Wednesday morning from 9 to 12 at the Extension Office in Hillsboro. Also being held at the Extension Office on Wednesday is a Dealing with Backyard Wildlife workshop. That workshop will be held Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3, again at the Extension Office in Hillsboro. And on Thursday, there will be a Beginner Level 1 sewing class at the Extension Office in Hillsboro. That sewing class will be held from 6:30 until 8 on Thursday evenings and will be held for 5 weeks through October 24th. And that just about wraps it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, September 23rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.